You're listening to Sky Women's Health Podcast, your evidence-based resource for women's health and wellness, exploring the holistic principles of osteopathy, integrating mind, body, and spirit, designed to empower you as your own healthcare advocate and help you live your best life. I'm your host, board-certified OBGYN, Dr. Carolyn Moyers. Hey, Sky Women, welcome back to another episode. Today, we're talking about understanding premature and early menopause. And this topic came about because a patient came in early menopause and was really upset about the whole thing. You know, they was shitting all over the situations and circumstances, and friends didn't understand because this was just happening too early. And it can definitely have a play on our emotions and our psyche, and it's incredibly frustrating. I get that. And so I just wanted to kind of walk us through today and talk about some resources. Premature and early menopause is a really important topic for us to focus on that I don't think we have before, because it's actually associated with many adverse health outcomes, including cognitive impairment, dementia, Parkinson, glaucoma, coronary heart disease, osteoporosis, mood disorders, sexual dysfunction, and increased overall mortality. So dying earlier. So we're going to be discussing premature early menopause, its causes, symptoms, and management options. First of all, what is menopause? Menopause marks the end of a woman's menstrual cycles. It's confirmed when you've been 12 consecutive months without a cycle. Most will reach menopause between the ages of 45 and 55, with the average in the U.S. being around 51. Premature versus early menopause. What's the difference? Premature menopause occurs before the age of 40, and this affects about 1% of women, while early menopause happens between 40 and 45. This happens in up to 12% of women who have their final menstrual period before 45. This percentage is likely higher if we consider menopause caused by surgery or cancer treatments. And what are the symptoms? Symptoms of premature and early menopause include hot flashes, night sweats, mood changes, reduced sex drive, all the things that we hear about in traditional menopause. The causes could include primary ovarian insufficiency, so when those ovaries just kind of age out, cancer treatments, surgical menopause, so if both ovaries have been removed, that'd be surgically menopausal. If you've had chemotherapy or radiation for cancer treatments to the pelvic region, definitely would impact your eggs. Other medical conditions could include Turner syndrome or Fragile X, some autoimmune disorders, even thyroid disorder, diabetes, Crohn's disease, some metabolic disorders, and some infections. So there are multiple causes. Well, how do we actually diagnose this if you're how do we diagnose if you're early menopausal? Say that periods have gone more irregular and they're spacing out, and you're curious, well, is this it? You could do a number of things as part of the exam. You know, part of it is, or part of the workup rather. The diagnosis is going to involve medical history assessment, physical exam, and hormonal test, maybe an ultrasound. But the hormonal test is specifically that FSH. Estradiol is not very helpful in a perimenopausal phase, but the FSH level is very telling. So it's an FSH greater than 40, but we can't diagnose that based off of just one FSH level. So it would be two FSH levels that are greater than 40, that are 4 to 6 weeks apart, that will give us a more firm diagnosis. So what's the emotional impact? A diagnosis of premature and early menopause can be emotionally challenging, whether it's because of loss of fertility, maybe you weren't done with family, and you're wanting to still add to your family. Also, psychological counseling and support can be a really important part of this. Maybe even genetic counseling for those who might have genetic conditions to understand what is going on with their body and what this may lead to future health conditions or just longevity. So management options include Hormone therapy or alternative therapies to alleviate symptoms and reduce long-term health risks, such as osteoporosis and heart disease. You may need referrals to specialists, of endocrinologist or a gynecologist, depending on who diagnosed this, who your menopause expert is. They may need to send you to someone specific. The results of trials looking at hormone therapy in older menopausal women cannot be extrapolated to women experiencing early menopause or premature ovarian insufficiency. And I think this is so important for all of us to know that the Women's Health Initiative and the data from all of that does not apply to this population of women. Unless there's a strong contraindication, there's a strong reason that exists that you should not be on hormone therapy, it's actually recommended that you use hormone therapy at least until the natural age of menopause, around 51 or 52, to protect against these negative effects that we were talking about, and could be considered, hormone therapy could be considered for a longer duration if it's needed based on your symptoms. So if you continue to have hot flashes and night sweats, and we want to control those symptoms. A higher dose of hormone therapy may be needed in this population to approximate that normal physiologic estradiol level. We also may need to replace progesterone and testosterone, regardless of whether you have a uterus or don't have a uterus, because the ovaries now are no longer producing estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, and this can greatly affect the collection of symptoms that we were just talking about. Premature or early menopause is associated with various health issues, like we mentioned before, including cognitive impairment, osteoporosis, and mood disorders. And hormone therapy until the natural age of menopause will help to mitigate a lot of these. So here are the recommendations for women who are experiencing premature or early menopause. One, that we do not apply the Women's Health Initiative information to this population. Two, women experiencing menopause prior to 45 as a result of premature ovarian insufficiency or bilateral salping oophorectomy, having those ovaries removed, benefit from hormone therapy not only for the vasomotor symptoms management, but also for prevention of cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, neurocognitive decline, and that are all related to premature estrogen deficiency. There are several medical societies that recommend that hormone therapy should be considered at least until the natural age of menopause for women experiencing early or premature menopause and can be continued beyond. Higher doses of estrogen, at least equivalent to 100 micrograms of transdermal estradiol, may be needed to approximate those blood estradiol concentrations similar to a menstruating woman. Women with primary ovarian insufficiency have a 5 to 10% chance of spontaneous contraception and require appropriate counseling about contraception if pregnancy is not desired. So this is really interesting, right? That you may have a 5 to 10% chance of spontaneous ovulation. So again, never say never. So if we start replacing those hormones in premature ovarian insufficiency, you may actually have a spontaneous return of ovulation. Although testosterone has been shown to improve sexual function in women, it is not currently routinely recommended in women with primary ovarian insufficiency or bilateral salping oophorectomy. But I question whether it may should be recommended because so many women actually really benefit from some testosterone level. I'm not saying that you need to have a testosterone level of 200 or beyond. You just a normal physiologic range would be wonderful. So just with appropriate counseling, that may be a good option for you. Next, counseling regarding bone health, including recommendations for weight-bearing exercises, muscle strengthening, weight training is so important at this phase, fall risk assessment, smoking cessation, no smoking, ladies, and avoidance of excess alcohol intake, along with dietary intake of 1,200 milligrams of calcium and 600 to 1,000 international units of vitamin D. Now, that's assuming that your vitamin D level is normal. If you tend to be vitamin D deficient or insufficient, then a higher dose of vitamin D is going to be recommended, usually somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 international units daily. Okay, and lastly, women with primary ovarian insufficiency or ovaries removed may benefit from or psychological support to help address the issues associated with early menopause, including loss of fertility, changes in self-image, and sexual dysfunction. So these are really important keys. And this is why, as part of our new Sky membership, you have access to a trusted resource, clinical counselors who can help to address this. Also, our Facebook group, where you'll meet others who are in perimenopause and menopause and not feel so alone if you're in that early 40 category and none of your friends are addressing or having any of these issues and really can't relate to what you're going through. So if you're interested in joining the Sky membership, you can visit skywomenshealth.com, contact the office, or get on our email list for further information. Until next week, be well. Thank you for joining me on Sky Women's Health Podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest content. This episode is proudly sponsored by Sky Women's Health, your go-to destination for midlife gynecology in DFW, specializing in perimenopause, menopause care, sexual medicine, and a unique thing we offer is osteopathic manipulative treatment for pregnant and postpartum patients. While we are nobody's primary OB, we collaborate with your OB to provide you comfort through your pregnancy. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Until next time, be well.